Hello, everybody. Welcome to All Talk All Ashes, the podcast that covers, you guessed it, all things Ashes of Creation related. My name is Frenstein. I am, as always, joined by my brother Subjective.
Hello again.
And if you're not familiar with our podcast, we break down, everything Ashes of Creation related. Dev streams, conversations, content, and with the game on the horizon, we'll be creating some more content for it too, so look forward to that as well. If you enjoy that, again, we'd love to have you as a subscriber to our YouTube channel or subscribe to the podcast on your platform of choice and join our Discord as well for future conversations. But we'll kick it off as we always do with what have you been playing this week, Seb?
Deadlock.
Yeah, we've been playing a lot of Deadlock together, actually, so it's too actually super fun, honestly.
It is, but it's, early. I guess it's what we could expect from Alpha 2. It's an early development build. It's very imbalanced, obviously. But it's still fun. So just because the game's in early development, there's a lot of annoying stuff that they need to balance, right? But that's all right.
Yeah, I think it's a good sign. If the core of the game is really fun, then that's a good sign. And hopefully that's what we'll get out of Alpha 2 when we get there in less than 2 months at this point. So yeah, we've been playing a lot of Deadlock, if you can guess it. But today's episode is really about Alpha 2 Phase 2, where you're kind of getting into a breakdown of that. We broke down Alpha 2 Phase 1, so check out our previous video if you want to see what is coming in October. But we're going to kind of dig into Phase 2, because that's really where stuff starts to heat up. That's where some interesting things are going to really start popping up into the games. So we're kind of going to go through it, kind of give our reactions, just kind of talk through it. A few things that I will throw in here before we get started. Disclaimer, obviously everything is subject to change. Steven has said that multiple times. So just be aware, like what we're talking about now may not end up in the build. It may not end up in the time frame that they want. So we'll kind of just see, but I'll just leave that there so we don't have to keep bothering you and saying that over and over again. But for those not familiar, Alpha 2 Phase 2 is planned to start on December 20th, which would be great for a lot of folks that, get some time off on the holidays, right? We will, we hope that we'll hit that timing. And the timing for the testing is going to shift as well. Again, if you're not familiar, in Phase 1, it'll primarily be 3 days. And it sounds like it's mostly going to end up being weekends, although they said they might play with some different time slots and things like that for other folks. But we're going to be going to a 5-day testing span. And again, we don't know exactly what could start on Wednesday and then, ends 5 days from then. So again, things we'll just kind of have to see. Could just be 5-day during the weekday as well. But yeah, so kind of a 3-day testing type thing, probably, to 5-day testing. So it's going to be quite an expansion there. But we are going to dig into all the goodies, and we're kind of breaking this down into different sections. As we previously did, we're going to kind of dig into the world and the nodes and what we can expect from Phase 2. And the first thing is going to be the expansion of the Sand Squall Desert, as well as the Vandagar jungle. I forgot to write it down. Tropics. Think it was. So I assume we're going to get to see maybe more quests and, maybe more node stuff happening within those areas. So that should be pretty fun to kind of get expansions of those. It also mentions new unique node layouts. Now, I don't know if that's layouts of maybe settlements or just how the node itself is laid out and structured. So that'll be kind of interesting to see. We will get the addition of node sieges, which is really exciting, I think, for me and probably for you too, as well as vassalship. So kind of some of the politics coming in there with the different nodes. Another thing I'm super excited about, freeholds. Hopefully we'll make it into Phase 2. And we will also get some static housing and some additional service building. So that's a lot. that is a lot of stuff coming, hopefully, around the corner. Again, subject to change. But what do you think kind of these new things that'll be coming into Phase 2?
So, I know we just talked about what games we're playing, Deadlock, right? And I know this is a podcast about Ashes, but now that Deadlock's out of NDA, I think we could really learn a lot from that while watching that game and seeing how Alpha 2 is going to progress, because the game is going to, change a lot and fast, possibly, right? I know it's a weird comparison, but it's probably the best one I have right now. But like I said, I kind of want to see what these two zones look like in Alpha 2 Phase 1. Jeez, I keep saying Alpha 1 every freaking time. But and then see how much they actually expand it by Phase 2, because that's kind of a good gauge of what kind of thought process they have in developing and maybe even feedback might help them develop those zones differently, which is kind of cool to think about. We're going to see them progress kind of like they may be kind of bare bones state in Alpha 1, but then fully, maybe, I don't know how fully developed they'll be, but
yeah, I mean, that's what I'm expecting. I guess
we'll see.
Yeah, I would expect them to be pretty bare bones.
Yeah, but I mean, at least they're in phase one, so that's fine with me. What else? Unique node layouts. I'm assuming that has to do with different types of nodes. Like, I'm not sure.
You know, they don't. They mentioned that there's going to be like economic nodes elections available. Which, again, if you're not familiar with the different node types, we did a big breakdown of that. And really, it comes down to like, you know, if it's an economic node, then like I believe you get elected mayor by like auction. So I don't know. I'm not sure if the layout is. Like,
I pulled it up here.
Okay, yeah, I'm not sure.
It's based on the biome, location of the node, the race of the node that has the highest percentage of the node advancement, and a bunch of other factors. So yeah. I think we're just starting with a bare bones generic node.
Yeah, we're not getting like the like
we're not
divine
no
nodes and like
yeah. So that's okay. You got to start somewhere. So at least we're getting nodes. So yeah. they got layouts on the horizon, which is cool. I think that's kind of like probably a lot of what prevents types of like housing, like at least when they talked about housing in World of Warcraft, they're like, you know, they wanted to, you know, not just throw it in the game and be like, hey, we have housing. You know, they might want to do like night elf housing or blood elf housing, or I mean, there's so many races and combinations in the game. It'd just be like, I'd rather have them put more effort into it and be cool. You know, if you're a night elf and you want to go live in a tree house, that's cool, right? I mean, but if that's the theme you want, right? So I think unique layouts are absolutely a must, and they do take a lot of work to implement, but I do feel like the work is worth it 1000%. So it'll be great to see that in phase two, like, because we're going to be, like I said, bare bones, and then we're going to be evolving. And it may feel like a different game because the node might not look familiar to us at all. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, for sure. I'll make a comparison, as I often do, to Star Wars Galaxies had pretty, like, housing that was based on, it was interesting, like, it was based on the world you were on. So there was different housing types based on, like, if you were on Tatooine, it was more like, you know, like a, kind of like what you saw, like, you know, Luke Skywalker living in when he like first was on Tatooine, like kind of like a almost brick and mortar like type house. And then like you go to Naboo and it was like more, you know, like kind of regal. So there's like all these different like types of housing based on like type of world you're on. So that was really cool. It was honestly added a lot of character to the game. So, you know, I assume it'll be similar based on like, you know, what, you know, race kind of calls that area home, and the different like layouts, and like, so that'll be kind of cool to see like base, you know, some variety there. But the thing I'm obviously probably most excited about, kind of in the world of nodes, for phase two, is really the sieges, right? Node sieges, I think, would be a lot of fun, right? And the vassalship as well. We'll kind of get some of the political dynamics, like that'll be kind of fun to see that come online, see how things can kind of play out. And also obviously the freeholds. I think we're both super excited to kind of see freeholds, and hopefully we can get our freehold up and going. And again, just see what you can do with it. You know, obviously there's going to be like customization. It may start off like in a very basic state, like, hey, maybe you can just place a few buildings and maybe put like some crafting stuff there. And eventually, you know, there's going to be like, you can progress your freeholds and like skill trees and things like that. So that could be later. We don't know exactly, but I'm just excited to kind of get our hand on some like player controlled housing and just kind of mess around with, you know, all the crafting elements of that as well.
Yeah, I hope. Well, since we know the devs are going to be like, I know node sieges are kind of like a time-based thing at launch, right? Specific time windows and stuff. I'm hoping like I do know they haven't set that in stone yet, but I do hope they allow for more sieging during alpha so we can test it, you know, even if it is like predetermined by the devs. I'm okay with that. Like, I would love to just I would love for them to just be, I'm playing on the server and they're just like, hey, we're going to be doing a node siege, or they announce it in the Discord or whatever, right? Like, hey, show up here at X time and, you know, we're going to do a big node siege battle to test it out. I mean, they're probably going to do stuff like that, and then hopefully, you know, more organic sieges occur. But I feel like in Alpha 2, like I said, it's an alpha with not all the content there, so I don't expect people to be doing tons of this stuff, especially if it's not like super functional. But yeah, I guess we'll see. Like I said, we're basically testing the game to make sure these systems work when the game actually comes out and help them build it. So yeah, I mean, I want to see how much you can actually destroy a node, or like,
yeah,
I mean, maybe even like them add in some interesting, you know, features to node sieges as they develop Alpha 2 based on feedback, or maybe their own ideas also would be cool to see. Like I said, that's just the nature of alphas. We're going to see, like, what you see from when phase 2 starts until launch, it's going to probably be completely different, but that's okay.
Yeah, no, it should be fun. I'm just excited to test things out. Obviously, we know like balance won't be perfect and things will be broken, but that's part of the fun. I want to get this stuff out of the way in alpha for sure, because obviously when we're talking about node sieges and like maybe losing territory or land or like your buildings, like that's a big deal. So we want to make sure everything looks good in that. And vassalship too, obviously that can be a big deal, because you know, if your node is kind of under a larger node, right, there can be some interesting dynamics or maybe some mechanics for abuse potentially down the line. So getting that all kind of like figured out, I think, is going to be really important through the alpha and through testing. And the static housing too will be kind of interesting to see, and additional kind of like service buildings. I'm curious to see if that, I assume the static housing is going to be like, obviously we have the freeholds, which is kind of yours and you can put buildings on it. And I think the static housing is probably going to be, there's like, you know, I think we talked about in the past when we did player housing, it was like apartments, like you could have like apartments, and there was also just going to be like housing, I think, that you could get, which is not like a freehold where like it's open to like placement and things like that. So that'll be kind of interesting to see too.
Well, but wait, apartments are instanced housing. Static housing, okay, is where you can buy a plot of land and throw it on the ground. But I believe, I'm not I think sure that's exactly limited. How they're, it is limited. It, like, apartments will have, like, I think they'll be able to create infinite instances of that in one building or whatever. I don't know what they plan on doing with that. But static housing is, like, you just go buy a piece of land and, you know, you probably buy it from the node itself and they, you know, charge you taxes and stuff. And but people will be able to walk past it. You'll be able to see it, like, physically. Everything they do. And it's decorated. So that's what static housing is. And freeholds are kind of like static housing, but I think a little bit more complex, because you can have your own personal buildings on there too besides your house. So
yeah, so it should be a lot of fun. I mean, I think there's a lot going on. I mean that stuff alone is going to get me like super hyped. Obviously anytime we're talking like player housing, freeholds, all these different types of things is super exciting. Like that's going to be a lot of fun. I really hope that makes it in, even in a basic form, because I know I'm always starved for player housing. I know you must be as a WoW player for sure.
I'm starved for it, and I'm also very interested to see how they actually, you know, how you do the building in the game, because there's a lot of like building in games. I mean, we've played a lot of sandbox gaming, and building in games has evolved a lot since the early days. I don't even remember the early days of like survival building games, but like the quality of life they've added to building in games and placing objects in your house and stuff has gone up by tenfold. So I'm really hoping to see, like, I just hope they make it simple yet deep. And I just want to, I'm hyped for housing. I love housing. Yeah. I don't know why I love it, but I just feel it's just adds this personal touch.
Yeah, it's besides yours.
Your character, but it adds your little personal touch in the world. I don't know why. I just freaking love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's yours. It's your own. You can customize it. And I will say, too, I'm glad you kind of mentioned it, too. Like, I'm excited to see, and maybe it'll be in, maybe it won't be. You know, but like, because I am at the end of the day, like, the housing is cool. I like that. That's my own space. But like, also, they've mentioned that like there's going to be mechanical advantages to like placing things like furniture and like items in your house. So I'm really interested to see like what that's going to look like, because that'll add like a whole major incentive for me to like go in there and like add things and like do furniture that maybe I wouldn't have otherwise. You know, I'm pretty basic sometimes with like my decorations, so like the fact that there's going to be like potentially like mechanical benefits, I think, is going to be really fun. So I want to see how that plays out.
But that's okay, right? See, the beauty of why I like sandbox MMOs is I can walk into the world and I'm just like, I walk by a house and it's like pretty bare bones, and I walk by a house and it's like, whoa. It's just like the world changes as you play it based on what players are doing. And I love that. It's just like every time you go there, it's something different.
Yeah. And hopefully, basically, too, like, again, having those mechanical benefits for like furniture and decorations and stuff like that is going to make me like do those types of things. So hopefully there won't be too much bare bones housing.
It's just another reason why, You know, it's just not there for looks. It not only adds to the uniqueness of the world because it's changing as people play, but it gives you a cool little, I guess, mechanic in the game to play with.
Yeah, it won't be my Minecraft house where it's literally just nonstop storage chests everywhere and not much else for sure.
I don't think it will be like that.
No,
I'm sure they'll have storage, but I don't think it'll be like that.
Yeah. we'll move along here. I don't think there's too much to dig into here because obviously we don't have access to like all the information. There are obviously some exciting things for me. We're gonna have a couple new races.
Hey, I just want to interrupt you real quick, sorry, but on the Google Doc, the two races, it kind of auto corrected you there and it says Vaseline instead of Vaseline.
Oh, I mean, I wasn't even gonna attempt to pronounce the names anyways.
That is
but
funny. I'm sorry, but I just wanted to
make
sure you knew that.
Get wrecked, autocorrect. But yeah, two new races, neither of which I'm pronouncing their name anyways. We're going to be getting the Rogue archetype, which, again, that is one that I am very interested in playing. I think I want to main. We'll see. Again, who knows? Maybe I'll fall in love with something else during phase one or throughout the game. And they're going to be adding stealth mechanics that go along with that. So that should be really fun. And we're also going to be getting some new weapons as well. Four new weapons, dual daggers. That's probably what I'm going to do. scepters, two-handed maces, and two-handed axes. So again, not too much to dig into. Again, obviously getting more races is going to be really fun. I think obviously the big thing here will be the rogue archetype. Again, seeing how that kind of plays out, and the stealth mechanics as well, because obviously stealth mechanics are always really interesting in MMO and how they kind of, you know, do them and how it plays out. But nothing too major there. I don't know if you want to jump in on any of those kind of topics for those things, but
dual wielding I think is going to be cool. I want to see how it works in Ashes. Probably the big stealth, definitely want to see how it works. I'm assuming it's probably going to work like most games, but I don't know if they're going to put their own twist on it.
Right.
I did play a rogue in WoW for 9 years. I'm definitely interested in rogue, but I prefer ranged. But I mean, ranger's kind of my go-to class, but eventually I'm going to be playing a rogue slash archer ranger combo. I forgot the name of it exactly. So stealth
Scout,
will
I think?
Play. I think it's a scout. I don't know. There's so many I don't even remember. Yeah. But it's like you're doing a podcast. Maybe you should know what the frick you're talking about. No, but because I played one in Dark Age of Camelot, it was kind of fun. So I'm hoping it's kind of like that.
I think was also called the scout class. I think I played that too.
Yeah, I think it was actually. But it was. Yeah, I'm just interested in this. But I mean, we're a long way off from, you know, archetype mixing.
Oh yeah,
I guess I'm more interested like with new weapons, how these new weapons will change up gameplay a little bit, because we're gonna get new skill trees for these, and since the game is not limited to like you can use any weapon on any character, I'm kind of interested to see how these new weapons work for all the classes slash whatever, or all the archetypes. Sorry, I keep calling classes
habit.
Yeah, I know. The class is when you mix the two. The archetype is the bad. All right, but yeah, I guess it'd be kind of interesting in seeing people goofing around with like a rogue with a two-handed axe or something, if that's even viable.
Yeah, I don't
That'd
know.
Kind of cool.
It will be interesting if there's going to be like any kind of limitations or anything like that, like based on your archetype, based on your class. But
well, I think you're supposed to have preferred, but nothing's really holding you back. So
yeah. So it'll be interesting.
Which is good. Kind of like the path of it, how Path of Exile does it. You can kind of like, you can use any weapon or armor on any character slash class, but it's just like, it does have some limitations. Like, so you have to play your character a little different. So
yeah,
I think it's a positive. Like I do want to see people goofing around with these systems 100%. It's going to be interesting being like ganked by like a two-handed mace rogue or something.
Yeah, oh, it'll be interesting. It'll be me. No, definitely not. I'll probably be dual-wielding daggers because I'm basic like that. But we'll see. You never know. Maybe I'll find something else, you know, that I can kind of mess around with. But I think we'll move it along here. Again, not too much to dig into. Again, we don't really have access to like the skill trees or anything yet, so probably not too much to dig into there. But obviously really excited for the rogue. I will definitely be trying that out when it comes in, hopefully in phase two. We're going to dig into a little bit on systems. Again, new big big kind of like mechanics and systems being added. Siege vehicles, obviously, as node sieges are going to become a thing. I assume that'll probably play a factor in like castle sieges and things like that too, which will probably be a lot of fun. So I definitely will be interested to see like if, you know, how that kind of works. Like, do you build the siege vehicles? Do you buy them? Like all those kind of cool things. There's also, again, this kind of in line with crafting as well as kind of like weapons and things like that too. We're going to be getting tempering, which can obviously affect your weapons and your gear, and kind of like this is going to be one of those like kind of like sliding modifiers, I think, that really can kind of like determine like how good your gear ends up being. Also, we're going to be getting gem sockets, right? For any of you, speaking of Path of Exile or certainly Diablo players out there, I'm sure you're used to, you know, gems and sockets. Gear Ascension, which I honestly, I don't think there was a link to it in the wiki. So I think that was something Steven kind of threw in there and mentioned.
There's nothing on it yet.
Yeah, so I don't know, maybe that's like, maybe you can like upgrade your gear or like, you know, take it to another level or, you know, something like that. But also repairing, which is going to be a, from what we understand, a major part of, again, kind of keeping that kind of economic gameplay loop going. Again, being able to repair your weaponry, again, using, you know, artisans and things like that to be able to kind of make repairs. So that should be pretty cool. Obviously, something I'm super excited for. Artisan skill trees, right? Those will be kind of making their way into the game, as well as animal husbandry, breeding, right? So that's kind of cool, too. Maybe any Ark Survival fans out there, I'm sure you know all about that. as well as player shops and instance housing as well. So again, maybe like that will be the apartments that we kind of mentioned earlier. But a lot going on there within the kind of systems. Some obviously very gear heavy with like tempering, gem sockets, you know, repairing, obviously coming online. But some other cool stuff with the artisan skill trees and siege vehicles too should be kind of fun to mess around with as well.
Yeah, siege vehicles can be crafted by players, so that's cool. Some of them for your inventory. Like I said, I am keeping myself in the dark on some things. Because I kind of want to see them just like thrown at me and like whoa, you know. Siege vehicles, I hope they have a good variety. Like, I hope they have like a trebuchet, obviously probably like a catapult, a ballista, you know, the basics.
A ram,
I'm
baby.
Just wondering, yeah, I wonder how they're gonna work. Like will be there be like, because Guild Wars 2 has them, but they just you really can't move them. So I'm wondering if they'll have like ones where you can actually like put it far away and then move it in slowly.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Maybe, because it looked like the caravan system kind of worked like that. I don't know if they can use the same, you know, system for that, but that would be very cool.
That'd be very cool. I watched a lot of Age of Empires. So it's always fun, like when you get like a ram battle, like people trying to get the rams into like the castles and like the walls and stuff. So like something like that would be really fun. Like if you could like kind of get into it and like maybe you have some protection and then like, you know, the enemy's trying to like blow it up while you're trying to get it in there too. So like that would be amazing. I'm definitely going to be curious to see how that works too.
Yeah, I definitely think movable siege vehicles would add definitely a huge layer of strategy. Like, because like I said, in Guild Wars 2, they're static. They just, you know, you can turn them around and stuff, but they just sit there and...
Yeah.
I mean, I get why certain games have, like, static siege because, you know, they're powerful, but I don't know. I would like to see movable ones, or maybe like, trebuchets aren't movable, but maybe catapults are, or something like that, stuff like that. What else? Player shops, that's cool. I definitely love that. This animal husbandry sounds cool too, because that's how you get your permanent mounts.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and the breeding too.
Yeah, so I'm really interested to see how that system works, because like maybe they'll have a way where you can get like, you can choose in the world, like I said, we talked about this before with mounts. Maybe they could breed a mount that's very fast but very weak, so someone could knock you off of it easy, or you could breed one that's a little slower but little more tanky, so it's much harder to knock you off of it in PvP. But yeah, like I said, I don't know what there's also leaderboards. I'm not sure what that is.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I probably should include that. I'm not a big leaderboards guy.
They're opt-in,
especially opt-in. Alpha. Like, I feel like, you know, I assume it's all going to get wiped.
Yeah, that's definitely something that's probably it's going to be wiped, and it's probably not worth talking about too much yet, because it may change. I mean, it's an interesting idea,
but it will be there for those interested.
Yeah, it will be there. They'll have, like, it's based on dungeons completed, raids completed, PvP kills, caravans raided, and how much you gather. So the woodcutters get their own leaderboards.
That's, oh, yeah, baby.
I mean, that's
going to be
cool.
Me. The number one wood get. No, definitely not.
No, I'll be the number one wood guy.
Yeah, for sure.
Our plan was me gathering the wood and you building stuff.
Yeah, and I think ships are making an appearance in supposedly in phase 3, so maybe we'll get a chance to try it out. Who knows, for too long.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
But yeah, a lot going on there. Obviously, the artisan skill trees are going to be a lot of fun for me because I am really interested in the crafting. And also kind of linked in there with, like, the player shops too, and animal husbandry and breeding and stuff like that. It was never my forte in Ark Survival Evolved. I had too many bad memories and bad times with taming and breeding in that game. But I'm certain there's going to be probably a lot of people that want to dig into that, especially, again, if there is going to be, like, a lot of customization for, like, kind of mounts, which we kind of theorized about in the past in terms of, like, how it gets used and, like, things like that too. But it should be a lot of fun. I mean, like, there's a lot of, like, I think depth to that too, so that should be kind of interesting to dig our teeth into.
Yeah, definitely interested to see these systems and, you know, come back and retrospect our old podcast and see how wrong we were or how right we were.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll move along here as we kind of get towards the end of things here a little bit. Content, there are new content. We're going to get potentially story arcs for the Riverlands and the Sandsqual Desert. So that'll be kind of interesting to see a little bit, like, story, a little bit of lore and how that kind of plays out. Again, we don't know exactly what we're going to get in the scale and scope of what we're going to get for things, but, you know, we'll see as we get there and as they kind of test things out. They mentioned treasure maps again, which I also saw for phase 1. So I don't know if we're getting more treasure maps or if we're getting more in-depth treasure maps, or maybe they're going to add to the mechanic in some way, shape, or form. So just throwing that out there. Dynamic events, right? Again, that could be a lot of different things, as well as dynamic world dungeons that we will see. So that is a potential treasure trove of content, especially maybe if you're more of a PvE type player. Potentially, like, you know, the dynamic world dungeons and maybe even, like, the treasure maps too. So it could be a lot of fun for folks that want to kind of see how that works.
Actually, dynamic world dungeons sounds really cool. Like, I know a lot of games have dynamic events, but imagine, like, the dungeon just outright, maybe not the layout change, and I don't know if they have that tech, but, like, you go in there and there's just different mobs or someone else took over and it's a different boss and all new mechanics and stuff. That's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, good variety too for folks that want to, you know, really dig into PvE to hopefully mix things up, makes things a little bit interesting as well. So it'll be kind of fun to see how that plays out. And the events will be cool. I mean, interesting too, obviously. But yeah, so not a ton of stuff here. Obviously, I imagine probably a lot of the content in terms of, like, stories and things like that will probably come online more towards, like, launch. I imagine they're going to hold a fair bit in reserve, right? Maybe they don't want to put all the lore out there or spoil things during the alpha, but we'll see, I guess.
I feel like they will hold some lore back. It just seems like they might, because that's what a lot of games do these days. Like, they don't want to, I mean, if lore is going to be a big part of the game, they don't want to give you all the crumbs, or they want to leave some crumbs is basically what I'm saying.
Leave some things unspoiled, I guess, which makes sense, yeah. For sure.
I'm more interested in this treasure map stuff, so
yeah.
Like, I hope they go really crazy with it. Like, so, like, maybe there's some out in the middle of the ocean and you gotta kind of, like, dive under the ocean to get something.
Yeah,
like,
that would be cool. I mean, Sea of Thieves had treasure maps and I was absolutely terrible at finding things, but it can be a lot of fun. I know, like, we played Atlas too, where it had, like, some cool things, like, where you had to, like, dive down and go to, like, wrecks under the sea, and that was pretty cool. So who knows, maybe we'll get to experience a little bit of that and see what it looks like.
Yeah, and then they got, so there's a lot in phase 2 I'm very excited for, but I would have to say, like the nodes, like all the node stuff, I mean, almost everything at that point, right?
Yeah.
I'm actually most interested, like, I know I love freeholds, I love static housing and all that stuff, but probably the most interesting thing outside of that is dynamic world dungeons for me. I really want to see how they do that.
Yeah, and I will say this is and, you know, this obviously we're going to get phase 1 at the end of October, if all goes well, and then just a few months later, phase 2. So I think this is a pretty, again, we don't know how far along they are in development of all these things. They may be very far in development for certain parts of like all these things that we've been talking about. But it's a very ambitious list. So I personally would just go into it with the mindset like some of this stuff is definitely going to get cut or delayed, maybe to phase three or further down the road. And that's okay. But you know, even if we get like half of this stuff, I think there's still going to be a lot of things to do and a lot. And like I said, if people are maybe like hesitant, you know, about buying into the alpha in like phase one, which I completely understandable. I think that's really going to be more of like testing the limits of the game and seeing what breaks and obviously, you know, performance issues and a million different things, as Steven has pointed out. But I think phase two is like, if you are interested, maybe that's when you're going to want to like potentially, you know, kind of like, oh, maybe I should kind of, you know, see what's up in the game. And again, another thing too, between phase two and three, again, not all these things are going to be in day one potentially too. So like we might get like, oh, maybe we get like the Sand Squall Desert and, you know, we get a couple other things like, you know, freeholds, but then, you know, some of the other things like maybe the Rogue comes a little bit later in phase two. So just something to kind of keep in mind too. I mean, this may not be all on December 20th exactly, but maybe we'll get, you know, some of this stuff as we kind of push towards the phase two stuff.
Yeah, I understand their methodology for how they're doing phase two. Like they're trying to roll it out just before the Christmas break, so a lot more people can test it. Obviously, not all this stuff. I mean, if all this stuff is in, that's kudos to the team. But if it's not, yeah, Steven said they would strip some of it back, which is okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've played enough, and you've played enough early access games and games in general to know that like it just happens, right? Game development is complex, right? Sometimes you hit snags, sometimes you hit, you know, blockers, and you know, sometimes you're waiting on, you know, it may be like all the artwork is done, but like you got to wait for, you know, the programming to be done, you know, animations, right? So there's like a million different things that can like delay things, and it's just gonna happen, right? I will 100% say, like, I guarantee you there's going to be things that get delayed or, you know, maybe even removed or who knows, right? Depending on what kind of happens throughout phase one. But that's just my expectation, just playing games for a long time to kind of see things removed and taken out and delayed for sure.
Or the fact they could implement stuff and they're like, well, this isn't good, and they just outright take it out and rework it too is another possibility, which is okay. I mean,
they did that before.
They did that between Alpha 1 and Alpha 2. They reworked all the combat pretty much, which was probably their biggest request. They also switched engines, which is, I mean, is a big hurdle too. But I mean, game development is hard, and MMO development adds another layer.
Probably the hardest.
Complexity. Yeah.
Like, there's a reason nobody makes MMOs anymore. Pretty much, they're extremely hard.
Unfortunately, recently a pretty hyped MMO that was announced in 2022 was just axed. So it just goes to show you how difficult these games are. Yeah.
The Riot MMO got basically reworked
Riot
from scratch.
MMO,
too.
Yeah, reworked from scratch. So
that's the thing. Like, and Riot is like, you know, I think pretty well regarded as like a really good developer. So like for them to like, you know, put in like years of work and then just be like, no, this isn't good enough. We're basically going to restart. So like it's so hard. I know we've said a lot, but it's so true. And we're not trying to make excuses, right? Obviously, Ashes is they're taking money from people, right? So they do have an obligation to live up to these expectations. But it's like I said, there's a reason why MMOs are no longer really being made. It's because they're extremely expensive to make and they're extremely difficult to hit, like the scope and the sequence where players are actually going to, you know, enjoy it, right? It's much easier when you're dealing with like a survival game where the scope is a lot more limited, and even those have a lot of issues too, like on release and early access and things like that, because you know they're too bare bones or there's too many bugs or issues. So it's just one of those things that like I hope everything goes well. I expect delays. I'm prepared for that, and hopefully other folks will be, and I know people will be upset, and that's fair too. But yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I'm really excited. Phase two is really where I'm excited, not just because I'm getting my Rogue, but also because I just think this is where we're going to get to really test some of the core mechanics of Ashes of Creations, like freeholds and housing and the good stuff that we're waiting for.
Yeah, the world might come more alive on the out. I mean, it'll still be alive, but like this has like a lot of the systems that really, really show us like, okay, this is kind of the game we're gonna, not the final game, but these are the core systems of what the game is really about, right? So, and there's still more they're gonna add. So,
oh yeah,
but yeah, it's just like, yeah. I guess one thing Ashes has going for it is the openness of development, right? They kind of made a goof up with the extra keys they wanted to sell, and they, you know, course corrected that really fast. You know, people kind of lost their minds. It was like, wait, we're paying $120 just for Alpha 2 access only? And then they were like, all right, we made an oopsies, and now you get Alpha 2 access, beta access, and I think a month game time or something. I don't know. But I mean, they fixed it. They listened. So positive. Yeah. Also the thing about open game development is, you know, it's probably going to take a little longer because they're very open and very open to feedback. So that just means they take the feedback to heart and they will make changes if necessary, which will add time to development. But
yeah,
I mean, again, that's how we get better games. Like, that's just how it is. This game is not really designed by committee. It's designed by a private company with regular players invested into it. And they want our feedback and they love our feedback. And so we're going to be helping them make the game too, which is why I'm invested in it. I know I'm not trying to shill for Ashes. I just like the way they're doing things. It's different. It's different. Yeah. There's just so much in the industry right now that is, you know, designed by committee or like Baldur's Gate 3, private company. They pour their heart into that game, right? And I can kind of see that with Ashes. They're very passionate about the game, and you know, it takes time and effort, and the community's involved, and you know, just we're gonna have our ups and downs. Just try to stay positive, and they'll try and fix it the best they can.
Yeah, give good constructive feedback, right? And they're listening, right? And so if we give good constructive feedback, hopefully they'll keep listening. It's when, you know, I mean, there's always gonna be like a fringe of people that are just, you know, crazy. That's just life.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they'll get death threats too as things come out and are breaking, you know, broken, which is, you know, terrible, but
unfortunate. Yeah, I know. It's stupid.
Yeah, I think the majority of people, in my experience, is like the majority of people are, you know, good. They'll give good feedback. So get out there and let people know. And like I said, I think the whole reason we made this podcast really was just out of excitement. Not to, like, you know, as you said, like, show for the game. Like, we're just excited. We're MMO players. Like, we've been looking for, you know, a new MMO for a long time. You know, you've obviously been a WoW player. I've been somebody that's played a lot of MMOs, but never really found, I think, the right one with all the things that I kind of wanted. And I feel like Ashes does have a lot of that. You know, hopefully it will. But yeah, I mean, I think we're just excited. You know, we want to get the game in our hands, and we want to try it and break things and test it and offer feedback because they're listening, right? And not every developer does listen, so we want to take advantage.
And we've played a couple sandbox MMOs that have just, you know,
oh yeah,
that have not really done what Ashes is doing in terms of like accepting feedback, right?
Yeah, or we're just pay to win right from the start.
Or pay to win, yep, pay to win. Like Arc Age, like that game was. They relaunched it like 90 times at this point, and now the game's finally dead. But it's like, how can I have any excitement for Arc Age 2 after they handled the first game, right? I mean, could they do a 180 and not make it pay to win and make it a better game? Obviously. I mean, I would do that, but it's just like, I'm not excited for the game because after I know what they did with the first game, right? I mean, Steven is a guy who just, you know, he's kind of done with his MMO loop too. He loves MMOs also, and he wants kind of what I want from an MMO, right? He wants that, or what you want, right? Like the Star Wars Galaxies openness, player run, sandboxy housing. I mean, I just love that stuff, and yeah, just that's what I want. That's all I want, and with the open development process, like Intrepid is doing, is just makes me a little more hopeful that this game can be good, because like I said, we see them taking the feedback in real time and trying to, if they do goof up, they do fix it and maybe go above and beyond in terms of fixing it. So that's good.
Yeah, for sure. It's a big excite. But I think that kind of wraps things up, unless you had anything else you wanted to add in here as well as we kind of wrap up phase two breakdown.
Not really. I mean, we're going to do phase three breakdown next week, but that one's probably going to be probably even be talking about the stuff we did this week, like, because at this point, It says we can say what's in the phases, right? But when you get to phase three, we're so far out, it's like, what
things
am
will
I
change.
Gonna talk about? Yeah, what am I gonna talk about? I could talk about naval combat, but it's like,
yeah,
what's gonna be in there? And it's like, we don't know too much. I guess it's probably gonna be like theorizing how much of naval combat will be in and seeing how wrong or right we were at this
yeah
point.
Yeah, they have a list of all the things that'll be in there, but again, like, it's so far out that who knows. It'll be probably a crapshoot in terms of like what we get. But
well,
yeah.
I gotta just one last thing I do want to say is I know I keep going is like I do appreciate them having these road phases, these kind of like roadmap for the Alpha 2. I do appreciate that a lot. And obviously, like I said, will change. Always got to drill that into your head. But I do appreciate that they have a roadmap for phase 2. I feel like I'll give you one last example. World of Warcraft has roadmaps now, and I feel like that's excellent for the game. It's like, okay, so we know what's coming up, right? They don't give you all the info, you know. They say maybe the new part of the story is going to start or something. But I do appreciate roadmaps, and I wish more games would do them.
Yeah, and it's a risk because, you know, like I said, once things change, people are going to get pissed because you've deviated from the roadmap. But I think at least we have like an idea. Like we at least have a general idea of like what's coming, even if like the timeline stretches out or things get like moved. At least, you know, we kind of have an idea of like what's potentially going to be in the game at launch, right? Which I think is a big deal. Whereas, you know, a lot of it in the past was like going on the wiki and like seeing maybe what certain things are coming potentially and, you know, things like that. So at least we have like a plan and a kind of like a focus for hopefully what we're going to get when we get to launch, whenever that's going to be, way down the road. I would say the fact that I think Steven said it's going to be Alpha's probably going to be at least a year, maybe longer, and it's starting in October. So like, you know, maybe I think 2026 is probably a lot more likely.
Would be the earliest and optimistic at this point.
Yeah,
it depends how fast they could build out Alpha 2. If they manage to hit these timelines and they have quite a bit of content in Phase 3, maybe they could hit a late 2026 release date.
Yeah.
But I mean, I honestly think that's hopium at this point.
Yeah, definitely that'd be pushing for everything we need to get in.
It's not impossible, but I would just say you're huffing the hopium, and like I would expect probably 2027.
Yeah, that would seems probably more realistic to me. And you know, that's a ways away. You know, hopefully early 2027, but yeah. So we'll stop there and kind of hopefully this serves some use and you got a chance to break things down. We are testing on our end, adding a video element. It will not be for this video, but we are testing it out. So you might see our faces, not that there's much to see, but you will you might be seeing that in the near future. So if that is of something interesting to you, definitely subscribe to our YouTube. Hopefully that'll kind of work out in the future as well as future content as well. And again, like I said, we're it's September now as we were recording this, September 2nd to be specific. So we are, you know, in a month we'll be in October and less than a month. And hopefully we'll be getting Alpha 2. Right, that is our hope. But yeah, so plan is for next week to do a phase 3 breakdown again. We'll see how things go. I don't think anything is coming up that's going to interfere with it, like a secret roadmap update or something. But hey, you never know. So hopefully you enjoyed listening. We will certainly like to hear from you. Again, subscribe, like, comment, all those wonderful things that you can do to kind of help us out. If obviously join our Discord, we'd love to have more folks there. If you would like to leave us a review on your podcast service of choice, we would certainly appreciate that as well. But we will wrap things up here, and thanks for watching. Appreciate it.
See you next time.